mit Pictures of You auf Flux FM. Die großartige Band um Robert Smith herum hat einst auf der Hochzeit meines nun eingetroffenen Gastes gespielt. Wahrscheinlich auch, weil dieser zu jener Zeit zu den beliebtesten und einflussreichsten Musikjournalisten der Welt gehörte. Seine Show MTV's Most Wanted wurde europaweit abgefeiert und prägte zumindest bis 95 den Musikgeschmack einer ganzen Generation. Außerdem hat er den Job des Moderators nachhaltig verändert, seinen Kameramann aktiv in die Show mit einbezogen und sich auch mal getraut, mit der im Studio anwesenden Band zu scherzen. Und jetzt steht er bei uns im Studio mit seiner just veröffentlichten Autobiografie im Gepäck und wir freuen uns sehr über seinen Besuch. Welcome, Ray Cokes.
Welcome back. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, we've met like 3-4 years ago.
Exactly.
Something like that. In the old studio.
At around the time,
yes,
when I was thinking of I should be doing a book.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you started the autobiography right after you left our studio last time.
I thought, well, Flux didn't offer me a show, so I'm finished, I am. And that's why I decided to write a book. I thought I was finished. Yeah. My 15 minutes were over and I should leave something behind.
Yeah, and you've decided to write an autobiography. Now, that's something that I think is not super easy to do because you're either going to be too modest about your past or maybe too arrogant. How did you find the right way of talking about your past as a music journalist?
This is a really good question. I mean, I'm not a music journalist. I was just an entertainment showman and getting away with rubbish. But it's a decision you make early on. It's like, do you share everything or yes, do you not share everything?
Yeah.
You know, I know that most people who pick up the book, if people do pick up the book, they'll mm-hmm. think, oh, it's MTV, it's Most Wanted. Yeah, it's important in my life and I remember it.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to make it about that. But you can't make it just about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's an autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge was to make the childhood and everything before MTV and after MTV as interesting to read
sure.
as the MTV bit.
Yeah.
That was a challenge.
Uh-huh.
And early on, I decided, right, I'm not going to talk about scandal tabloid crap.
Cool.
That's not my style.
Yes.
I will talk about the famous people I know and the musicians and
yeah.
how it's important to me and how Most Wanted happened and all the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But it was difficult to find the balance of, well, I'm 56 now. I know a few things. I've learned a few things.
Sure.
Sharing those lessons without saying, I'm a guru and you should follow me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a difficult balance and it was probably the most, well, no, definitely 100% the most difficult process I've ever been through in all of my career.
I can really imagine that. And another interesting thing that you've just said is that you didn't want to talk about the excesses or about the mistakes or the terrible things some of the musicians have been in. you don't talk about that at all, and that's what I think is a really brilliant decision as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's not my style.
Yes.
Some of these people are still my friends. I'm as guilty as they are for the excesses. It would be like, you know, I wouldn't want to talk about it like that, but it's just something I wouldn't do.
Sure.
And that's for someone else's. If they want to talk about it, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be in the tabloid press saying, well, you know, this person, it's just not right. You know,
yeah.
I did hang out with Damon Albarn in Berlin.
Yes.
We did drink. I'm not going to talk about that.
Yeah, no.
It's just something I didn't want to do.
Yeah, sure.
And I think it's okay if I talk about the deep stuff about myself and maybe the mistakes I made or the decisions I took, but not about anybody else.
And how did you feel looking back? Because on the one hand, you must kind of like miss the adrenaline rush that you had when you were doing a show for like 60 million people or something. But on the other hand, there was a lot of weight on your shoulders because you were the man actually to do the show. So how did you feel relieved to have survived that era? or was it like, oh man, that was a great time in my life and I sometimes miss the rush of an adrenaline shooting through my body?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I dealt with that issue because when you go back over your own life, you know, I spoke to a couple of writer friends who are proper writers and they said, hey, listen, a book is a burden, a one about yourself even more so.
Sure.
So you'll visit dark places and you'll see the monster inside you come out a bit for the stress and the deadlines and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the actual, you know, being the king of MTV and then being not the king of MTV and being in the wilderness, I dealt with that in the book.
Yeah.
And it was quite a relief because for a long time,
oh, cool. See?
You know, for about 10 years, it was a monkey on my back. It was,
sure.
I'm never going to do that again.
Yeah.
And then when you're writing it and re-experiencing it and sharing it with people, I thought, actually, what a lucky guy I was to experience
sure,
it,
sure.
You know, and I should just celebrate that, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And I deal with it in the book by, it did haunt me. I would never do that again. Television's changed, music's
sure.
changed, everything's
yeah.
changed.
Yeah.
I've changed. So I just celebrated that I had it, and I can now talk about it, and I'm here talking to you about it. So it was a wonderful experience, and it did lay to rest. I mean, normally, if you go back in your life, you go with a professional, you go with a therapist. You know, I had my girlfriend by my side, thank God I did, but you would normally go with a professional, someone to guide you through the dark passages, and I didn't. I had myself, and most of it was really difficult. And also that adrenaline rush you talked about, I'm used to doing things still now. If I go on stage, I present a show, you get the audience, it's an instant reaction. You write, it's a very lonely thing. You can't, sometimes you can't write at all, and you have no feedback. So it's like writing in a vacuum.
But when you say that to get to the point where you are right now, normally you would need a professional. That means that this working on this book was kind of like therapeutical for you.
Absolutely, totally. Wow. And also, my girlfriend, she's fantastic. She took a year out of her work. She produces TV stuff, and she said, "I'm going to help you. I'm going to be by your side. And if we survive this hell, we'll be together forever."
Wow.
And we survived. And
couple therapy as well.
Couple therapy. And can you imagine? You know, telling your girlfriend everything.
That's crazy.
You never do that, really, as a man. You sort of keep some stuff to yourself and speak to your mates over a beer. So we shared everything.
Cool.
And it was very, very therapeutic. And it just made me realize more. I mean, I do wake up every day and think I'm still lucky to be doing this. So many of my friends of my age, you know, they do a job they hate. They're just paying for the children's education, and they're on the conveyor belt of life. And I'm not. And writing it makes you realize even more, hey, I've had a good life.
Oh, that sounds so good to me, that this working on this book actually made you feel good about the past again. Cool thing.
Because I did have some deep issues to deal with, you know, decisions you make, and you realize as you're writing that you are in fact the sum of all of the choices you've made. So the only thing that I had to deal with was the ending of MTV, which was catastrophic and a huge shit fight controversy, as Simon Le Bon called it, and also the fact that, hey, I've up until about 3 years ago, I never thought about the future, really. I just live from day to day. I have a good time. I do good work, but hang on a minute, I'll be 65 and I haven't got any money, any property. Maybe I should have made a few different decisions. So writing the book has put it all into, you know, it's cleared up everything for me, really. It was a difficult process, and I nearly didn't make it, you know. The deadline, I passed two deadlines.
No, but it's a wonderful thing, actually, that you look back at your past, and you even look back at the wrong and maybe the worst decisions of your life, and now, as you've written about them, you can live with those
decisions. I think it's in the book somewhere. Of course, I wrote it all, and now I can't remember any of it. But one of the things I did write was, you can't always make the right decision, but you can make the decision right.
Yeah, that's totally true. That's a wise thing to say. Thank you for being a 56-year-old guru.
I'm here to
telling
guru,
us
guru
those
man.
Things. One thing that I and many others loved about the show was the fact that it was aired all over Europe, and then that one could feel connected to the kids in France, in Spain, and even more important, Yugoslavia back then. And I think, sometimes I think it would be nice to have a show like that to connect the kids of Europe again, because it's like a brilliant way to prevent nationalism amongst kids, actually, because everybody felt like connected to their neighbors. Did you realize back then that MTV's Most Wanted had a political dimension as well for those kids?
Not really. It was, you realize that it was part of an international club, and you recognize the power of someone in Finland connecting with someone in Dresden, saying, hey, we have the same cultural references. We have the same teenage shit going on in our heads. We have the same parents that we don't like. And so that we were aware of that. And then when the Yugoslavia broke up, people used to write in and say that we're the only 10 minutes a day of happiness that we get.
And then people would keep their electricity, they only had a certain amount of electricity they could use a day, and they all saved it up for the night so they could watch MTV's Most Wanted. No, we don't have to wash our clothes, Mama.
Or cook dinner.
No.
Who cares? No, that's in the book, you know, about NATO saying that we have generators, and they want an hour a day for the cleaning and the washing and the cooking, but they also want the night time. And they would say it's because we can escape the horrors of everything that we're living through by watching the new Madonna video. And it's like, that's very powerful. And now, of course, as I travel, I'm meeting older people, and they're all saying the same thing. You know, that was a time for me when I was a teenager, when I had problems at home, when I didn't identify to anybody or anything, and MTV, I could find myself. You know, kids all want to be individuals, but they also want a tribe.
Sure.
And as you get older, that's more and more. You don't want to be with the cool people. You want to be with your tribe.
Yeah.
Cool people don't matter.
Yeah.
And it was when it started to go regional and MTV Germany, yeah. MTV Scandinavia, I said to the bosses, you're so wrong.
Yes.
People want to be international. They don't want to be national.
Yeah.
They said, no, you're wrong. And of course, we see now with Facebook and Twitter, and everyone wants to share everything all across borders.
Sure. And the thing is, the sad thing about the whole idea of bringing people together with a music show that airs all over Europe, it wouldn't work anymore, right?
No.
Even if MTV decided to go back over regional kind of thing, it wouldn't work anymore.
Absolutely not. I mean, I talk to my nieces who are 17 and 20, and they say, what, you mean that people used to actually wait a week to watch an exclusive video?
From the perspective of nowadays, it's crazy.
I just want it now.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, music has become less valued than it was before,
mm-hmm.
and you can you can get access to music instantaneously when you want it, and you mm-hmm. take what you want. You don't mm-hmm. wait, you don't save your money for it anymore. But also, because the internet has changed everything.
Sure.
But I did notice something when I was doing a tour last year in Germany with a live tour in theatres with bands playing.
Mm.
When I used to take the microphone and go into the audience, I could see a lot of people were there, like 40, 50, but they brought their kids, like 16 and 17. And you could see the look in their eyes like, hey, this is not formatted.
Yeah.
This is anything could happen here. And people were hungry for it.
Yeah.
And I know there's definitely all the young people that I met, sounds like terrible, like I'm a granddad, but all the 15, 16 year olds that I met who came to the show said, why doesn't our generation have something like that?
Yeah. You know? Because it's the whole TV media stuff is too regulated now. And MTV, I mean, they were freaks and punks back in
Absolutely.
The days in the beginning.
Yep.
So we have to give them kudos for that still,
yeah.
I think I mean, because nothing like that would be possible today.
No, nowadays the format is the king.
Yes.
And as a presenter, you just have to fit into the format.
Sure.
If you can speak and look at a camera, you can get a job now.
Yeah.
The format is everything. And music, of course, has disappeared from TV.
Yeah.
Unless it's on The Voice or some crap like that.
Yeah, oh God.
You know, it's gone.
Yeah.
And I'm still been fighting with people to say, bring back a music show, a fun, live, interactive, dangerous, chaotic.
Yeah.
No, music doesn't rate on TV.
Yeah, I'm so happy that I'm working at a radio station because in radio it's at least a little bit possible to do those things, to be crazy, to be...
Well, what you should say is that you're happy to be working at Flux
Radio. Yeah,
that's
true. That's totally true.
Because a lot of radios are also playlist dominated and run by people who know nothing about music.
Yeah, that's totally true. But we don't have to say that too loud, otherwise my bosses are listening. And the next time I'm going to go into their offices and be like, I want to have some more money. They're like, no, you love working here. You don't need money. You know,
it's dangerous. They say that. They say, do you know what? There are 10 million guys outside who want your job. Get back in the studio.
Like that. Yeah. Let's listen to another song before we talk a bit more.
Pleasure.
About your autobiography. Bei uns im Studio ist Ray Cox. Wir hören an dieser Stelle auch noch Musik aus den 90ern. Portishead mit Glory Box. Portishead mit Glory Box. 17:56 Minuten, also schon richtig spät hier auf Lux FM. Bei mir im Studio ist immer noch Ray Cox. One thing that I really loved about MTV's Most Wanted was the fact that you had a special tone when interviewing your guests. You, in fact, did treat stars as if they were regular, normal people. But that was something that your bosses didn't really like in the beginning, right? They were like, you had a star in that show. How dare you talk to him like that?
Not even, and not only the bosses, the record companies, the management, all the entourage hated it because we just didn't treat them like gods.
Yeah,
you treat them with respect.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they just play guitar better than me and they are better songwriters.
Sure.
And it was a club environment.
Yeah.
And also we were very powerful because they were coming into our place. We weren't going to interview them backstage.
Yeah.
They were coming into our home. So we treated everyone like mates, really.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest example of that was we had a crazy little game called the Bingo Wall of Death, where, you know, there would be questions like, how often do you masturbate? And what do you think this should be legal?
Yeah.
And all the bands would, in the beginning, would say, hey, we're not going on the Bingo Wall of Death. The management would say that.
Yeah.
And the biggest example of that going wrong for the management, the record company and the bosses were Aerosmith came in.
Yes.
And they were huge Aerosmith.
Yeah.
And of course, I was told, hey, do not mention drugs to these people. Do not mention anything like that. Just do the interview. Let them do the song.
Yeah.
So we did the interview. Let them did their song. And then Aerosmith said to me, Steven Tyler said, are we not doing the Bingo Wall of Death, man?
Oh,
No, you can't. You're not allowed to. We want to do the Bingo Wall of Death.
Yes.
And we did the Bingo Wall of Death. And because the gods of entertainment were watching, the question that came up was, have you ever taken drugs?
Yes.
And of course they all said, no! And in the end, the bands would always, always just join in the fun and leave behind their egos and all of that. It was great fun.
And I think that was super important for the show because at a certain point, the bands knew that they were going to have fun when they visit you. They were not treated like asses, but they were treated like normal people and
absolutely.
They would have fun. So I think there was a...
The only people who didn't really get it, apart from Aerosmith, were the Americans, because in MTV America, they had a limousine, a big dressing room. They were treated like gods. And when they came to us, it was like, no, there's no dressing room. Sorry, there's no limo.
Yeah, and love that.
We wouldn't have worked. It was a bunch of friends. And then we wouldn't have worked without the bunch of friends having a laugh on MTV, like students. And then suddenly... Radiohead next to you.
Yeah.
So, you know, both of us needed each other, really.
Yeah, and that was the brilliant thing about that show. Now, we've talked about the past a lot. We've talked about your autobiography that is out now in German as well.
Yep.
But now I want to take a quick look into the future of Ray Cokes. What's going to happen next? What are your future plans? You've done Ray's Gasthaus in Germany, which was brilliant.
Thank you. Are you
planning something like that again?
Well, depends. At the moment, a couple of years ago, I made a decision to join the big machine. Mm-hmm. And I've always resisted joining the big machine because I've got a fear of selling out because I was punk by heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I joined the judges of Belgium's Got Talent.
Yeah, I've read about that.
And it took me a long time to say yes to that. But I had a bit of fun with that and I was just allowed to be real and honest and truthful and I did that.
Yeah.
And then I've done some shows at the Reeper Barn, which I love doing. Then we've got another series of Belgium's Got Talent. Now, it all depends on how the book is reacted to because one thing I really, really want to do is nostalgia is something big for people of my generation because we want to relive stuff of the past.
Yeah.
I've also resisted this for a long time, but next year, 2015, is the 20th anniversary of Most Wanted dying.
Oh, wow.
So I would like to do...
Yeah, 1995, right? Yeah.
So I'm going to do a Most Wanted reunion of four dates in Germany with the original crew, the cameraman, Rob, Nina, Pat. They've all said yes. Everyone's... I mean, they're all multi-million dollar award-winning professionals now, apart from me. But they said, yeah. So if the book is well received, that's what I want to do next year. And then move to the sun if I can.
Yeah, why not? It's a cozy and warm place.
That's right.
Yeah. You just don't burn your wings while flying up there, right?
I cannot get a better ending than that one.
No,
so I'm not going to try.
No, stop talking right
you
now.
You win.
Ray Cokes, also mit der neuen Autobiografie jetzt im Laden. Wir verlosen Exemplare dieses Buches per Mail. Schreibt mir eine Mail an win@fluxfm.de mit dem Betreff Ray Cokes oder MTV's Most Wanted geht auch und eure Adresse mit drin und wir schicken euch dann ein Exemplar zu von der Ray Cokes Autobiografie My Most Wanted Live vor der Kamera, hinter der Kamera und überhaupt. Thanks a lot, Ray, for visiting us again.
Thank you.
We'll see each other in 2015 then when you're doing the Most Wanted Reunion Tour.
Most Wanted Reunion Tour?
Yeah, you'll make a stop in Berlin, don't you?
Well, it's going to be backed by Flux FM. That's what I was expecting.
I think so.
Live on Flux FM.
Yeah, maybe. Why not?
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Dankeschön.
Und hier zum Abschluss noch unser Rausschmeißer des Nachmittages. Katharina hat sich The Jam gewünscht. Ich kann jetzt den Rest von der E-Mail auch nicht mehr nachlesen. Da haben wir keine Zeit mehr für. Ihr schreibt eine Mail an win@fluxfm für die Autobiografie von Ray Cokes. Und ich bin raus für heute. Tschüss. Bye, bye.
Bye.